Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, in truth and love. Amen. Our text this morning is the reading from Acts, which you have the gift of the Spirit may make some people think you're drunk. You may be seated. So imagine you're one of these people at Pentecost, one of the Jews who has traveled from throughout the world. Say you're from Rome. You're walking along in the city, and you hear a loud sound, a loud rush. So you run to see what it is. I mean, what else are you going to do? You find some men teaching in Latin. Well, that's convenient. You don't see that every day around Jerusalem. Most of the people don't like Rome here. Might as well listen for a while. Their teaching is new, but really good. So you glance around, see who else is listening. You see a Parthian. He's from way out east, past the Roman Empire. Where did he learn Latin? So you go over and ask him in Latin, to which he responds, in Greek, the common language, "I don't know Latin." And you go, what? But he's speaking Latin, and you're listening to him. It's like, no, I hear him in Parthian, my language. And now a third guy is overhearing you and saying, what are you talking about? He's speaking Greek. You all know Greek. It's like, no, I hear him in Latin. He hears him in Parthian. It's like, you guys must be drunk or something. And these men don't know what they're talking about. Jesus died. What are they talking about that he's risen? And probably walks away. And today, we'd say, he's drunk. It's the word of God. The apostles are preaching. We'd love to hear that. The gift of the Holy Spirit has come to the church, and this guy writes it off as everyone being drunk at 9 in the morning. Must have been having a party. Created a disturbance. That must have been the loud noise. It's a rowdy bunch. That's his take on the Holy Spirit. The helper and comforter that Jesus promised. The one who bears witness to Christ and his deeds. The one who fills the mouth of the apostles and every pastor after them. The one who works faith in the heart of Christians. The one Christ said will guide us into all truth. The one who gives us the strength to confess Jesus as Lord. I mean, at this point, he's mocking the whole idea of being Christian. And this sort of person has never gone away. Today might be one of the easiest times to come across such a person in, frankly, hundreds of years. You don't have to come across them on the street. The internet gives everyone a voice beyond their normal means. Even without the internet, it's getting easier and easier. You're going to come across such skeptics. We live in a world where it's just drastically different perspectives come together and clash repeatedly in every aspect of life. Atheists, Marxists, Mormons, Muslims, they're all out there. Not all of them will think you're completely crazy, but some of them will. And there's not much you can do about it. The Lord has told us these people will always exist. The word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, as St. Paul says. But that doesn't mean that we should respond like they act towards us. They'll accuse us of being drunk, crazy tyrants, dumb, short-sighted, blind, harmful. We cannot do all the same to them. We can speak the truth, but no more. Insults and mocking them back isn't going to accomplish anything. All we can do is make room for the Spirit to work on them as well. Make room according to the gifts that the Spirit has granted us. That is, he has given us the testimony of Christ, that he is God. The text that Peter uses for his sermon here, that was the end of our reading from Joel, teaches on this. It says, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, that your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. He's speaking of Christians. He's not saying that everyone's pastors, everyone's going to get up and preach, but prophesy, yes, similarly to the prophets of the Old Testament. Their words pointed to Jesus. Their words pointed to him as the Messiah, as the divine Son of Man, as God himself come down. And you know that. You know the message that they proclaimed, that they had to receive from God personally. You receive from God now. You also have God speak directly to you through the mouths of pastors. You can have confidence in his words given by the Spirit. In the Creed, which we haven't been saying too much recently because we've been doing Matins, but is normally a commonplace aspect of our worship, you say more about the nature of God than the prophets might have known themselves. It's more direct and simpler and plainer. And we confess it to each other and to the whole world as a prophecy. The prophets did have a sense that God would come as a man. They had a sense that the Spirit of God was a very important and vital thing to have. They spoke of the Exodus out of Egypt, and we could speak of the Exodus out of sin and death that Christ brought through his death and resurrection. And that message, that testimony, gives us hope and understanding. Without the Spirit, without the gift that we had, that the whole of Christ's church received at Pentecost, we would have no hope of understanding that testimony. So when we meet someone like this man who would mock and insult Christians, maybe even the very concept of being religious, do not respond with mocking and insults of your own. They mock us because to them we're lost in ridiculous claims that make no sense, and it leads us to act in ways that don't make sense to them. They don't make sense in their frame of reference. They don't have the gift of the Spirit, at least not at this time. They don't understand that we act in love, that we have higher standards for marriage, for life, and for love. We see someone in need, and we help them ourselves, even if it's not convenient for us. We rejoice in the face of hardship. We listen to the words of our Savior and regard them as true. But when we look at them, sure, we don't understand. We may not understand where they're coming from. We may not understand how they can think the way they do. But without the Spirit, they have no hope of doing otherwise. The Spirit comes in specific ways that he has promised, in his word and in his sacraments. And in these, he points to Christ. So if only they could hear that. If only they could hear the word of God and have room for the Spirit, they too may understand. We have no room to hurl insults at them because we didn't even understand on our own. We came to this realization by the gift of God and the preaching of the apostles as we have in his word. We came to the knowledge of God at the font when the Spirit worked faith in our hearts. We pray that it may work in our enemies' hearts as well. The Spirit has let us know the truth. Jesus says he is the truth. We know Christ because the Spirit is with us, because Christ has sent the Spirit. People are deceived by the fabrications of the devil on the daily. Even us fall to these temptations. But at the end of the day, we have victory over him through Christ. We are defended by the power of the Holy Spirit, saved by the blood of the Son, and live in the love of the Father. We stand as witnesses to the whole world, to that source of truth in the swamp of lies, to those who have only known the lies. The truth is foreign and strange. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So be there in the world, so that the Spirit may use you as he wills, for the work of God, for the work of bringing more people to Christ. Finally, may the word of God flow from your mouth, so that on the last day, when you come before Christ, you may call on his name, on the name of the Lord, on the name of Jesus, and be saved. And we pray that for all people, for God desires all men to be saved. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds into life everlasting. Amen.